I'm Donna Appadoni, host of Cap Radio Reads, and I have a holiday book story. Imagine the dead of winter in Iceland in World War II. The story goes that in the 1940s, during the war, people around the world had to change their holiday plans. They couldn't travel to see loved ones. There were shortages of items in stores. Sound familiar? Icelanders are resourceful. When the December holidays rolled around, they decided to focus on one of the few items that wasn't being rationed: paper. No shortage of paper meant no shortage of books. Lots and lots of books. So books became the gift to give. Because it was Iceland and it was December, the celebration stayed at home. People snuggled up and hunkered down and enjoyed hot cocoa and read their new books. The Icelandic word for this tradition is Jólabókaflóð. That's Bára Floyd. She's president of the Icelandic American Association of Southern California.
I think the last letter, which is like a D but with a kind of like a strike through it, that's the hard one because that's eth. It's hard to say it.
Jólabókaflóð. Bára told me that Jólabókaflóð is a tradition she grew up with in Iceland.
I would say part of the reason why books are so popular too is we didn't have television. That's what you did, read books instead of just watching TV.
And not just any books. There's a lot of Icelandic culture involved in the selection.
Part of the books that come out too are like biographies of some known people in our society, not just novels, but biographies too.
Jólabókaflóð sounds like just what we need this holiday season. In our Cap Radio Reads version of Jólabókaflóð, we don't limit our late night reading to Christmas. Oh no, we celebrate Hanukkah, Solstice, New Year's Eve, Christmas, and any day of the month we want, because books. I asked some authors and some members of the Cap Radio team to tell what books they think make good gifts for this great tradition of
the Jólabókaflóð.
Jólabókaflóð.
My name is Alka Joshi, and I'm the author of The Henna Artist. And one book that I would gift for the holiday season is Pachinko by Min Jin Lee. Why? Because it checks all of my boxes. Is it about another culture? Check. It's about Koreans. Is it taking place in another country? Check. It's taking place in Japan. Is it historical? Check. It's about four generations of Koreans living in Japan starting in 1910. And is it about personal and family struggle? Check. Absolutely. How Min Jin Lee managed to have every single character from each generation so unique, so compelling, and so entirely believable is a remarkable tour de force, and I definitely encourage you to pick this book up. It will carry you through the entire holiday season because it comes in at 479 very fat pages. I guarantee you will not be able to put this book down. Happy holidays to all of you podcast listeners, no matter which Christmas tradition you observe.
My name is Georgianne Brennan. I'm an author and journalist. And the book that I would recommend to stay up reading is The Lord of the Rings by J.R. Tolkien. And the reason is the beauty of the writing, the magic of the quest, and the whole notion of good versus evil, which is always important in the world. And of course, the characters, and the whole imagined world of Middle Earth. In short, everything about the book. One of the joys of the unique characters, Gandalf the Wizard, Frodo, Strider, Legolas, the list is endless. And of course, Galadriel, the fairies, the dwarves, even the evil characters, the orcs, they're all just so compelling. And the location, of course, Middle Earth, is meaningful. It's distinct in its names, you know, the Misty Mountains, the Gondor, but they have, nevertheless, they have a ring of a world that's familiar to us. So even though it's another place, it's still something that we can so easily relate to. I like the rather old-fashioned style, you know, the way that it's written from another era that matches the story and the whole epic tale. And I hope, I'm sure many of you have read this book before, as I have, and it's always thrilling to read it again. So with that, I wish you all a very happy holiday season.
I'm Cara Black, and I write the Amy LeDuc series set in Paris. And this year I came out with a standalone historical thriller, 3 Hours in Paris. So the book that I am really excited about this time of the year is by my friend Jacqueline Winspear. It's not one of her Maisie Dobbs mysteries. It's a memoir. Just gorgeous. It's called This Time Next Year We'll Be Laughing, a memoir by Jacqueline Winspear. And it's something that, well, Jackie's a friend of mine, and I love her Maisie Dobbs books, but she's from the UK. And so many times over the years, she's talked about her parents, about her grandfather who suffered shell shock in World War I, living in the countryside, travelers, which is what they call gypsies in the UK, and just amazing things. And so I'm really, all these vignettes I've heard, I just really, really want to read all about it. And there's lovely photos in there, you know, especially of Jackie, you know, with her making a funny face. It's poignant, it's heartfelt, and it's also got that, you know, kind of little bit wicked British humor that sometimes they come, you know, it's very witty, but they're really on target. So I think if you love Maisie Dobbs, or if you have, or you're interested in a memoir, post-war UK, and you just want a ripping good read, I'd say get Jackie's new book. And I want to wish you a very happy holiday season, and stay warm, read good books.
Hi, everyone. I'm Meg Wade-Clayton, a novelist and the author most recently of The Last Train to London. The book I would give away for the holidays is We Are All Completely Beside Ourselves by Karen Joy Fabler. I will tell you that it's a book that I do give to everyone, which is a rare book for me. But before I give it to anybody, I tape a note card over the back of the paperback where the book is described, because often the description gives away a twist in the book that totally would spoil your enjoyment of the book. It is worth staying up all night because you get to that point in the book where the twist is, and it causes you to see the whole book that you've read so far in a different way and to read it with great anticipation going forward. I certainly cried at the end, and so did my husband. Part of that is because there is a very unique character in this book, and if I told you anything more about her, it would spoil your enjoyment of the book. The book is set in Davis, California, so particularly meaningful for people in the Sacramento area. The author, Karen Joy Fowler, lived in Davis for many years and now lives in Santa Cruz. The book won the Penn Faulkner Award and was a finalist for the Booker Award, which is England's biggest prize for literature. Karen was one of the first American authors ever to be shortlisted for that prize. It's a book that is topical in ways that, again, I cannot tell you because it doesn't spoil your enjoyment of the book. So please just rush out and get it.
Again, we are all completely beside ourselves by Karen Joy Fowler. I hope you will be completely beside yourself in enjoying this holiday, even in these difficult times. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy whatever you celebrate this time of year. Thanks.
Hi, I'm June Reyna, General Manager here at Cap Radio. If there's one book I'd like to share with all of you, it's a book I read about 10 years ago, and it's really defined how I manage. It's a book by Tony Hsieh, founder of the company called Zappos. It's a book called Delivering Happiness. I reread the book maybe once every few years, and the biggest takeaway for me is that the end game of business isn't the bottom line in itself. The end game of business should be taking care of your people and your customers. And if you do that right, then the bottom line takes care of itself. It's a feel-good business book, and it really doesn't read like a book about business at all. So I highly recommend it, because the holidays should be all about feeling good and being kind to each other. So mabuhay and happy holidays.
My name is Devin Cortan. I am an announcer and producer over here at Cap Radio, and I would love to share with you my experience with the 1954 account of the doomed Ernest Shackleton expedition of 1914 called Endurance by Alfred Lansing. It is an absolutely riveting tale of Ernest Shackleton, a famed Antarctic explorer, and his crew of 28 men aboard the Endurance. And they have the plan of going down to Antarctica and crossing the whole of the continent with their ship and a team of huskies, dogs, and sleds. What they find there is, well, some of the worst weather conditions on Earth. And that's why I think this location is so important, because what would make you feel more cozy than reading, you know, with your blanket and your tea and your fire, than some guys dealing with the harshest and coldest weather known to man? I mean, it is seriously something else, the feats that these guys have to perform in order to survive. And I'll spoil the ending for you. Everybody survives a 2-year ordeal in the Antarctic, in which their ship is crushed and they have to salvage as much as they can from the icy wreckage. And they camp on ice floes for months and months and months, just hoping that they are floating northward toward the Elephant Islands. And then they could sail in their lifeboats to South Georgia, some islands just north of Antarctica from which they sailed. It is an absolutely wonderful journey. It is riveting. It kept me on the edge of my seat the entire time. Ernest Shackleton is an incredibly charismatic person. You know, his captain and his first mate, who do all of the navigating, and they could tell their exact latitude and longitude just by the sun and the stars, and they had to really do whatever they could to survive. You know, at one point they were sucking on frozen seal meat to get their water. I mean, I think all these guys were basically expecting to die in the Antarctic. So they said, well, why don't we just try to get out of this? And they did. It is absolutely unbelievable. I think the author's writing style is slightly information dense. The entire crew took very detailed journals of the entire expedition. And this guy, Alfred Lansing, he got a hold of all of them and was able to create sort of a narrative. You know, he creates dialogue. It's not all just him reporting what happened. It's kind of dramatized. And so what I think is so appealing about this story is just the incredible will to survive. And also, it's just one of those stories of human beings overcoming the most insurmountable odds. And it's a true story. So that makes it even the more compelling. I really could not put it down. And I hope that everybody checks it out. From my family, from the Cap Radio family, I wish everybody a restful and peaceful holiday season and New Year.
I'm Devin Yalmanaka, afternoon news host here at Cap Radio. I keep a log of the books I've read, even the ones that I don't finish. And looking back through this year's list, it was a bit of a slow start for 2020. I think I actually started about a dozen books and then only finished four of them before finally finding one that I really, really loved. But this was the book, The Unlikely Escape of Uriah Heep by H.G. Perry. Charlie is a professor of literature, and he has this magical and somewhat inconvenient ability to bring characters out of their books and into the real world. And it seems kind of cool, but it's inconvenient because sometimes it just kind of happens without him knowing it, and sometimes the characters he brings out of the books aren't really the ones you want running around in the real world, like Uriah Heep from Charles Dickens' David Copperfield. The book follows Charlie and his brother as they try to wrangle all these characters that Charlie accidentally liberated and stop them from destroying the world. And if you've read a lot of classics like Dickens, you'll probably be pretty tickled reading about all the different characters interacting with each other and interacting with the modern world. I'm not a huge fan of the classics, but I still really, really enjoyed it. It's a book lover's book for sure, and one I highly recommend. A very big, happy book flood season to you. That's my new name for December. I'm going to call it book flood season. I like it.
I am Nicole Nixon, Cap Radio's politics reporter. The title of the book I would give as a gift this year is Educated by Tara Westover. You will find yourself staying up all night to read this book, whether you want to or not. It's a memoir about the author growing up in rural Idaho with no formal education and her journey getting into college and becoming a PhD grad at Cambridge University. The story is all about her growth and her childhood. Her strength and determination throughout the story are very inspiring. But I also like this book because it shows the importance of having mentors and people to watch out for you and take you under their wing. The location of this story is meaningful to me because it took place in my backyard growing up. I'm from Salt Lake City, which makes some appearances in the book. I also have family ties to Brigham Young University and small town Idaho, so that made the story easier to envision in my mind. The writing in this book is so beautiful and so sad, but it's also so vivid. I love reading books that just draw you in and really put you in that place. And this book does it in a way that is hard to find. It's really incredible. So this book got a lot of attention when it was first released in 2018. But again, this is probably the most recent book that I read that I just could not put down. And there are themes that are also maybe even more relevant this year than they were 2 years ago. Isolation is a theme, the urban-rural divide. And also, what's interesting is conspiracy theories and extremism and a mistrust of modern medicine are all parts of this story, too. And we've seen all of those things really come into focus this year with what's happening nationally. Happy holidays. Wishing everyone a very warm winter season this year.
My name's Ezra David Romero. I'm an environment reporter for Capital Public Radio. The book I want to talk about is called The Institute. It's a novel by Stephen King, and I didn't necessarily read it. I listened to it on Audible. It's read by Santino Fontana, whose voice I love. It was a really fun book. I find that I'm reading less and listening to books more because I walk outside a lot. Now that I'm inside all the time, because of COVID during work at night, I like to go for long walks and listen to books and podcasts. So this was the last book I read, Stephen King's The Institute. The book is told through the perspective of a little boy whose name I can't remember right now, but it's told through this like 9-year-old boy who was kidnapped by these people who want to use him for his powers. He's really smart and he can also move things with his mind and read people's minds. It was really worth reading, and it was kind of like this gripping book. I do like Stephen King's writing. This is probably one of the first books that I've read or listened to by him. But I think because he's speaking like in a conversational tone the entire time in the way he's writing, in portraying the inner workings of these people's thoughts. I really liked and enjoyed that. And it's like almost all told through this perspective, this like 9 or 11 year old boy, and sometimes goes to an adult mind, but it shows like what this kid is going through. And I thought that was cool. One thing I liked about the book is that it's a current book. It came out this year. So a lot of the references have to do with like Trump, have to deal with like modern times, have to deal with like people who are murdered in real life. You'll just have to read the book to know what I'm talking about there. But that's sort of the appeal, that it's set in modern times and it has to deal with like the state of our world, but in like a sci-fi read your brain type of way, which I kind of liked. I'm not really a huge holiday fan. I just mainly like cookies. I don't really care for Christmas or Christmas stuff. But what I do like is summer. So I will say, have a happy moving towards summertime when it's warm again, because that's the best time of the year when there's no Santa Claus.
I'm Kevin Daugherty, and I'm the classical music director here at Cap Radio. The book I'd recommend this winter is the Harry Potter series by J.K. Rowling. Now, hold on a minute. Hear me out before you roll your eyes at me. I know they're super popular books. I know everybody knows what they are, but I'm a 40-something who has refused to read these books since they came out in 1997. And then quarantine hit. And I have to say that I'm so glad I opened that first page of The Sorcerer's Stone, which is the first of the 7 books. From the minute you arrive at 4 Privet Drive, which is the childhood home of Harry Potter, you know you're in for something truly special. While Rowling wrote these books for children and young adults, older readers have really come to love them as well, and I can see why. The characters are so fleshed out and nuanced, and Rowling rarely leaves a storyline unfinished, and often those storylines really paid off. I think one of my favorite things about the series is how she would introduce a minor character in one book, only to make them a major player in the next. I found myself so invested and so enamored by the world of witches and wizards and fantastic beasts and love and friendship that I found it really hard to leave. Alas, the books did end, and I did have to put them down. But I'll tell you what, feeling a little bit better than I did when I started them. And that's why I would recommend Harry Potter by J.K. Rowling. Again, I'm Kevin Daugherty, classical music director here at Cap Radio, and I want to wish you all a very happy and healthy holiday season.
I'm Antonio Munez, and I'm a production assistant at Cap Radio. The book that I'd like to give someone as a gift is called Inward by an author that goes by the moniker Young Pueblo. I don't know if it's typically a book that you'd stay up all night to read, but I think it's something that you could read day by day and gain some good insights and positive affirmations during these very trying times. I enjoy the author's writing style because it's a free form of poetry that opens up a way to look inward into yourself and gain some insight as to where you're going, what you're feeling, or why you're feeling certain ways, and how to take care of yourself by being mindful and having a positive outlook on situations in life that occur in the positive light, also in the negative aspects that occur, because you can't have light without the dark. So it provides a way to see balance in the world that we walk through daily. I want to thank everybody for supporting Capital Public Radio, and have happy holidays with your loved ones and family. Thank you.
I'm Gary Vercelli, jazz music director here at Cap Radio. The book that I would recommend is Lamont Dozier, How Sweet It Is, A Songwriter's Reflections on Music, Motown, and the Mystery of the Muse. Here's an opportunity to get to know the humble hitmaker who, along with Eddie and Brian Holland, created mega hits for the Supremes, the Four Tops, Smokey Robinson, and many more. Dozier's thorough account of Motown's history from a songwriter's perspective leaves little to the imagination. He also gives sage advice to aspiring songwriters, as well as life lessons that can benefit all of us. An inspiring book from a man who penned over 100 top 10 singles on the Billboard chart. Happy holidays and happy reading.
a celebration of Yola Bocafloth from the Cap Radio team and a few authors we know. Our podcast is produced by Jen Picard. Our editors are Mark Jones and Devin Cortan. The executive producer is Joe Barr. And those were my own sleigh bells. You can find a full list of the books mentioned at capradio.org/reads. Keep up with our latest conversations by subscribing to Cap Radio on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. I'm Donna Appadoni. Happy Yola Bocafloth from Cap Radio Reads and Capital Public Radio.